Well, we've been talking about faith being practiced. So I thought it would be a good thing today if we started out with a few testimonies. How has faith been practical for you in the last week or couple of days? What are some things you've run into that you've had to make decisions about? What time of day? Have you had any difficult people to deal with? Ooh, have you been a difficult person and you've had to deal with you? We don't have any confessionals around here. We're going to talk about some things today that will either convict, speak, or encourage each one of us. Maybe all three, maybe anyone, whichever one. But they're definitely the things that James is talking about are things that we just have to wake up and deal with. This is not some highfalutin, pie-in-the-sky possibility of maybe you'll encounter this. The things that he's talking about as we are coming into the station at the end of chapter 5 in James are all things that every single one of us have to make a choice about every single day. We're going to start with where we kind of ended up, which is kind of the way we practiced this lately. We're going to look at what he says at the beginning of chapter 5 in verse 7. And you can tell that very first verb is enough to set us all off. Be patient. Be patient. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, children, everybody, until the Lord's coming. Does that leave any of us off? And does that give us any time off? Does it give us any circumstances to step out of and say, oh, everybody would understand that I don't have to be patient for this one? Is Jesus here yet? Be patient. What's the issue with being patient? What's the problem we have with being patient? Right. Honestly, I almost thought about slapping that commercial up there, that old Heinz ketchup commercial. Singing the, what Carly Simon song, Anticipation. Keeping me way, yay. But not today. The damp, cool 10 o'clock air got me last night, and I'm doing the best I can right now. Yeah, I am. Right now. Sometimes being tired helps you be patient. Sometimes it makes you impatient. Here's the illustration. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rain. Something that every one of those folks who were sitting there listening to him would understand. Now, for you and me, I've got this second hand. My grandfather was a farmer. My uncle's carrying on the family farm in Stuttgart, Arkansas, growing rice and soybeans. And I get to hear about once a year all the stuff that they have to go through in order to get to that point. And what they depend on for things to go well. And how utterly impossible it is for them to make it rain. Or how utterly impossible it is for them to stop it when it rains too much. And how patient, my uncle's got to be the most patient guy on the face of the planet. My grandfather, I love him to death. He was so anxious. He desired for each one of us. Godly man. Prayed me into the kingdom, I believe. He and my grandma. Talk to me about Jesus. But when it came to worry, he worried about everybody else's stuff because he loved it so much. But he just worried. But yet he was the guy in this illustration. He was the farmer who had to accommodate and get through to the next season. Because sometimes that's all you can do is get through to the next season. Now I believe that there's a message in that for us. That if we're going to be patient, sometimes the season we're in stinks. And we don't like it. And it may be because somebody's being ornery, or it may be because I can't control what's going on. That's right. And that in itself should remind us that we are not God. But what we have to learn in it is be patient. Because it's not the whole thing. It's not the whole story. The book's not done yet. The Lord has not come back yet. The story is still unfolding. Okay? It's written, we just don't know what's going to happen. It's like being in the middle of a movie and you don't know how it's going to end up. You know, one of those that has all those twists and turns and all those characters. They keep adding new faces every 5 minutes. Be patient. The rains are coming. Okay. So you and me, we need to be patient and add to the patience standing firm. Because the Lord's coming is near. Now, y'all, what are you hearing as we go through this? Let's pause at the end of verse 8 there. What's coming across your mind? What do you hear God whispering to you as we talk about this? Thessalonians thought that the Lord's return was imminent, right? So therefore And some had already said that it actually had even happened. And so therefore, maybe if all that had happened, maybe they didn't have to be patient. Maybe. Or behave well. When we are not patient, what happens? Okay. We behave badly, right? We become irritable. We run ahead of God. We do things based on our flesh and our own desires. And we try to control. And what else? And I do like the idea that being patient and standing firm are coupled together. It's not just being patient for patience' sake. It is being patient because you trust the anchor. You know you know that your good choices and your faith are going to be I don't want to use the word recompense, but it's going to be validated. Yes, patience sometimes is where God works the orchestration of His purpose and plan. We don't see that. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Waiting does not mean not doing anything. It just means you can't create the thing that you want to be the resolution in. Forgive me, I'll step into a baseball illustration. Luke works hard playing baseball all the time. He wants his hitting to resolve and be to where, I mean, he's got such great tools God gave him, but he gets frustrated because sometimes he can't apply right now, and he'll just, whenever he doesn't have the success that he wants, he gets frustrated. But he's one of those kids that when he gets frustrated, he wants to go work harder. So we'll play a game at 9 o'clock at night, and then after the game, if he doesn't hit the way he wants to, we've got to go to the batting cage at 6 in the morning. Yeah. And then the next game, he still won't hit the way he wants to, and he's still not satisfied, and he still wants to work harder. Now here's the lesson. Sometimes it's the work that's the thing that you're supposed to be learning. It's the willingness to dig in and do it. Even if you don't get the results you want, the thing you're learning is the work. Does that make sense to you? God wants you to realize, and me to realize that it is, I am really growing and I really am gaining. It's just not what I think I'm supposed to be gaining. Because the work will bring fruit in the future. Even if right now it's not doing what I want it to do. Sometimes it's just the idea of learning how to apply yourself. Does that make sense? And to do the work, to be willing to do the work. We have a culture that wants to get past the work to the end. Yeah. We just want to enjoy being God's people. But Jesus said, pray that God would send laborers into the harvest. The word laborers, we kind of like to forget. And sometimes the hard work is being patient, standing firm. It's not doing nothing. It's just we haven't got to the other end yet that we want, which we know is when the Lord comes. And if we're who we say we are, it means we want good and faithful service, not good and faithful, rich, pompous person who sits on your backside. God reminded me this morning about living in the moment. Not living in the past, not living in the future, but realizing right now is what I have. It's the present, the gift. Yes, it is a play on words. But remembering that this is the moment that I have. I can't live thinking that everything ought to be the way I want it to be in the future. But right now, I can live a practical faith. I can stand firm. I can wait on the Lord. And that is something. It is a lot of something. It's not just something. I'm not on deck. I'm actually at the plate and I don't realize it. Does that make sense? Another baseball analogy. I'm not waiting to get up. I'm up. But I think that I'm waiting. All right. So, here's another thing that he puts onto this. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door. So why is it that patience is opposed to grumbling here? Where's the chicken in my pot? Does that make sense? Where's the chicken in my pot? Somebody's supposed to put a chicken in my pot because I did what they asked me to do. Actually, it's an old English term, or you may have heard a chicken in every pot is a phrase. It is, there you go, Herbert Hoover, thank you very much. From early American history, earlier American history, 20th century early. Okay. The whole idea that somebody is going to do something for you because you did what they asked you to do. So in this case, it would be the government. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you two will be judged. Judge standing at the door. Yeah, you have to be quiet. And sometimes we don't do that very well, do we? Okay. There are things that we try to vent before the world that ought to be vented before God. Does that make sense? We have this drive when we're frustrated and we're not patient to be heard. And unfortunately, we now have all these crazy media that allow us to vent like a bunch of impatient, grumbly people. And the problem is, it vents it a lot farther than we realize that it vents it. And then we have to deal with it. Put all this in context. We go back to the end of chapter 4. James was talking about that attitude of saying, well, we'll go here, we'll go there, we'll make a lot of money, we'll do business. And that was a wrong attitude because it didn't trust God and it wasn't patient. It was a matter of feeling like we were the masters of our own fate. We were the captain of our own ship. We would assume that we had certain abilities, certain resources that we could then go do as we please. Okay. Then he turned in the beginning of chapter 5 towards talking about those people who had the means and wealth to do things. And he turns that on them and says, basically, that's not going to fulfill you and it's not going to bring about kingdom results. And he talks about that being self-indulgence and misdirection of not only resources, but faith. Because it's not faith. Then he comes to this, and he's talking about being patient. So it's in all this talk about people who have these attitudes about having stuff and having a bad attitude about stuff. And then he says, you be patient, and it's a you be patient. We don't want to forget that because it is a command. And he's talking to the people he was talking about who have. And the reality is all of us, whether we like it or not, live in the top wealthiest 2 or 3% of the world. Maybe not Savannah. And maybe we can go think about poor, poor, pitiful me, and I don't have what I want because the Joneses and the Smiths and the Marcuses have whatever they have, and I don't have what they have. Exactly. Everybody wants a 2002 Honda that's broken down, right? Okay. But we are not grumbling about all of that if we're patient and we realize that it really is all about God. And it really is all about kingdom stuff. And it's really all about waiting for His purpose to be worked out in us and through us and around us. So, instead of grumbling that things aren't going my way, or grumbling that I don't get to go make more money, or grumbling that my stuff got stolen, or whatever, we choose to be patient and stand firm instead. All right, talking to us again. Brothers, sisters, as an example of patience, don't you just love these illustrations? In the face of suffering, oh, He's adding suffering now, not just standing firm. Now we have to talk about patience in the face of suffering. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Tell me, can you think of any of the prophets that were ballyhooed, carried on anybody's shoulders, and made king? Nope, usually they were put on a pedestal and shot at. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So first of all, let's talk about those prophets. Were they patient? Who were they patient with? God's people? Sometimes. There you go. What was Moses' problem in that case? What happened? So even the prophets stumble with this grumbling stuff, right? Even though he was supposed to be a patient guy, Moses got grumpy with the people. I'm so tired of dealing with these. I want to go back to Egypt knuckleheads, where the pots were full of meat and we had all the whatever it is we wanted. It was so good back in Egypt. And he was just tired of it. I think after 20-something years in the desert, any one of us would have been, and if we had a gun, we would have shot him. Because it was enough. And all Moses did was get mad and hit a rock with a staff. And God honored that, even though it was wrong and impatient. Water came from the rock. Yes, it did. There was a consequence. Moses did not get to go into the land. But you do have some other prophets. No, tell you what. Give me one other prophet that was also a grumbler. Old Jonah. Can't believe you'd send me those people. I knew if you'd send me that they'd repent, no, everything would be okay with them. Isn't that just dandy? I don't like those people. Paraphrase. So yes, even though he's saying, look at those prophets, that they were patient in the face of suffering, all those good old people of God, respecting all those prophets whenever they spoke what God told them to say. Not. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. Do we? Did Job's buddies consider him blessed when he was persevering? Maybe. But, yeah. We consider them blessed, right? Truth is, for a prophet, prophets had to struggle just like us. They had a lot of stuff on their shoulders. I mean, just think. Old Elijah probably, if Elijah had been diagnosed today, he probably would have been diagnosed with depression. He runs off to a cave. They killed everybody, God. I'm the only one left. Why don't you just take me now? Not done yet, bud. I don't know that any one of us would have made it a year with the Israelites in the desert. So, yeah, to think that they made it, he made it 39 point whatever years in the desert with those folks. Yeah, I think he was a little, you know, a good example. You know, Job, he struggled, but he persevered. He asked God, he challenged God. God's big enough to take a challenge. Because it's one thing to seek God and to engage God, and another to walk away and forsake. And he did not walk away and forsake. He pursued. Doggedly. So why didn't put that little statement, the Lord is full of mercy, of compassion and mercy. Why is it important that the Lord is full of compassion and mercy whenever perseverance is required? He knows we don't have what it takes, and many times we do a poor job of perseverance. He understands. Why do you think Jesus died on? He associated with us in every way. Yet he did not sin. He struggled, he persevered, he suffered. And a lot of times in our culture, we make it seem like those who suffer are like Job. A few. Does that make sense? Well, they did something to get there. Well, we feel the same way if we're there. We've got to have compassion. We've got to have mercy waiting. It gets us through the patience. It gets us through the suffering. And it causes us to stand firm. If we don't have compassion and mercy, none of us have it. If we're really like the farmer, we know that there will be a harvest at the end. And there will be another harvest after that. As long as you're still in there swinging, planting, cultivating, harvesting, taking care of the land, there's another shot. Right. Being patient, doing the work. Next screen, John. We'll stop after this. He says, above all, my brothers, do not swear by heaven or by earth or anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you'll be condemned. So how does that honor God? Because he's, you know, this is an echo of something that somebody else said, don't you? Didn't Jesus say something about the same thing in the gospel? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Why is that important? How does it honor God? Then, why did he put that here? Truth and honesty? Okay, he started in the beginning of James. He's kind of moving back to that being standing firm. Keep it simple. Yes, he does. Anytime you say more than you should, you will always find yourself trapped in it. Just turn the TV on and watch any politician. Any one of them. When they start waxing eloquent, that's when they say some really dumb stuff. And we're the same way. Because they're one of us. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, you know, these days, you try to tell these young people that whatever you flash out there on Facebook, whatever you put out there on these social media, all the pictures you might flip around out there, you think they're just going to go away and they're harmless. There's this big old place out there in Utah. And somebody is not letting any of that stuff go. And whenever you and I trip up, and somebody doesn't like it, they're going to go hunting for it. They're going to say, I'll remember this. Do what I want you to do. We created our own trap. Not too far different from that, is it? Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Let it be simple. You live simple. You keep your account short. Life's a lot better, isn't it? I'm sure there is. I know that I've read something very similar to that in Proverbs as I've been reading through Proverbs. Feel like we're at a point? And we've just got a couple of verses left to go. They focus on prayer and intercession. And that's what we'll be talking about whenever we get together next Sunday. Prayer and intercession. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us again that day to day, you talk about the things that are right where we live. Lord, I ask that we will hear you speak to us, that we will be patient, that, Lord, we will not let suffering cause us to become grumblers, but that we will trust you and remember you are full of mercy and compassion, and that you are returning. Help us to be patient and stand firm. Jesus.